you as we turn to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 31. All my life, God has been faithful. All my life, He has been so, so good. Can I get a witness here this morning? Has God been faithful to you? I mean, every step of the way, Brother Alton, all the way up to 90 years old, God is good and He's been faithful, brother. Every day we live, God is faithful, folks, and He's so, so good. Why are we arguing with Him? Why are we not submitting to Him? We need to just submit, lay it all on the line. We are in this last lap, the last leg of this race for the glory of God. We are the generation that God has called to stand up in the midst of all this wickedness. And so let our light shine before men that they'll see the good works in us and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Don't you just want to be set on fire for Jesus? Amen. Burn out brightly on that last lap of that race. Just burn out for the glory of God. Amen. All righty. When we get to Matthew, we're looking at the Christ is coming and the judgment of the nations and the people of the world. Matthew right here, chapter 25, we'll start in verse 31, and then at the end of the sermon, we'll look at Romans chapter 20. But the Bible says right here in verse 31, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Our Father in heaven, I pray you forgive me of my sins. You fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. May the lost be saved and the saved be revived, dear God. Begin with my own heart. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in and through the preaching and teaching of your word, Lord. In the name of Jesus, our great God and Savior, we pray. And all God's children said, amen. There is a judgment of Gentile powers coming, folks. The Christ rejectors and all of those that have turned their back on God are going to stand before God and be judged. Make no mistake about it. We can't continue like we're going right now. I mean, even lost people around the world are saying, what's next? What's next? What's next? The amazing thing is that we don't have to guess as Christians what's next. The Bible very clearly teaches us what's going to take place. Specifically, gives us details and instructions on what's coming down the pipe. I can remember when I was a little boy, Barnum and Bailey Circus, man, I tell you, boy, when it was coming to town, they would get flyers out all over. And in Houma, Louisiana, everybody would flock. I mean, then that was one of the greatest circuses you would ever imagine. You know, as a little kid, you looked forward to that. Every time it rolled around, you would get real, real excited. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. The greatest show on earth is coming to town. God the Father is the producer. The Holy Spirit of God is director. And Jesus Christ is the superstar. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever can imagine the way this is all in detail going to come to pass as the church of the living God. We see the two different types of judgments right here in the Word of God. One is going to take place at the end of the tribulation. The other is going to take place at the end of the thousand-year reign on earth, which we call the millennium. Folks, in other words, every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I say this all the time, and it's going to happen. You're either going to bow voluntarily now underneath this dispensation of grace. There's a segment of time right now where God allows you to willingly, voluntarily repent of your sins and come and bow before Christ and be saved by the grace of God before it's too late. But this day is going to end one time. This segment of time where the grace of God is offered to you is going to end. Just like in the days of Noah, God told Noah, you come in, only wickedness is in man's heart continually. The whole earth is filled with violence. Come in here where I'm at and shut the door. And the ark was shut, and total destruction came upon the earth. Folks, history is going to repeat itself. The door is going to be shut one day. You will not be allowed to enter into the kingdom of God ever again for eternity. This is why it's so important. This is why it's imperative today. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart today, if the Word of God penetrates your heart, today is the day of salvation. Come when He calls, or you may not never come at all. The first thing we see is this season of judgment right here in Matthew 25. Verse 31, it says, but when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Jesus just spoke of this. If you back up to Matthew 24, verse 30, He's reiterating what He spoke in Matthew 24, verse 30. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. The scriptures very clearly point to this judgment at the end of the tribulation. Right before the millennium starts, there's going to be a great battle called the Battle of Armageddon. Supernatural phenomenons in the galaxies and the heavens. Matthew 24, verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Could you imagine what the globalists and the climate change people are going to boy? They're going to have a lot of information to sit around and talk about. And boy, I'd love to hear the excuses that they're going to make up. I mean, you think about this. Nothing like this has never happened. The sun's going to be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will even fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Isaiah prophesied of this. Joel prophesied of this. And folks, now they're all sitting around twiddling their thumbs. I thought I saw a spaceship. I thought I saw a spaceship. I thought I saw E.T. Where is he? Somebody throw a net on him and catch him so I can believe this nonsense if there is such a thing. Well, could you imagine all of the excuses going around? With all of this phenomena going on, the God's glorious supernatural judgment in the heavens and in the stars and the moon and the sun all taking place at the same time. And yet, it's abundantly clear that that's exactly what's coming down the pipe, folks. It's going to happen. Then we see the significance of this judgment. Right here, Matthew says in 25, verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Listen to this, folks. All the nations of the world are going to be gathered before Christ. You can run, but you can't hide. Every single nation that has rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will be gathered before the one they have rejected. You know what amazes me is the wickedness of man, how man can just shake his fist at God and ridicule God and mock God. And now even all of the ungodly, wicked things that are going in so-called churches and so-called pulpits. But yet God's saying there's coming a day when every ungodly, wicked nation and person is going to be gathered and have to look into the eyes of the one they have mocked and rejected. It's coming, folks. It's coming. Hey, I want to tell you, when I was a little boy, I can remember Mama. She went by the belt of fly swatter, and we started laughing. Like, this ain't going to hurt. But you know what Mama would always say at the tail end of that tail whipping? Wait till your daddy gets home. Anybody ever heard that before? Something you would start rubbing before he ever got there. Wait till daddy comes home, folks. The whole world's going to believe when Jesus shows up on the scene. There will be no such thing as an atheist or a mocker or someone in rebellion against God. When the king shows up, when daddy shows up on the scene, I guarantee you, people are going to tremble in fear at the presence of Almighty Holy God. He says in verse 39 and verse 40 of Matthew 25, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. And I believe with all my heart with most theologians that he's talking about the treatment of the Jewish nation of Israel during the tribulation. The most persecuted people on earth, folks, is the Jews. They have been persecuted since they've been created by God and formed as a nation more than any other race. We've said this during this series on the face of this earth. And everyone who has rebelled, who has tried to destroy, who has ridiculed and mocked, God's chosen people are going to stand before God and give an account. And why do I believe this? This has to do with the separate judgment from the great white throne judgment. Why is this separate from the great white throne judgment? Because a careful study of this passage of Scripture, number one, there's no resurrection. Judgment takes place at the end of the tribulation. Then it indicates in verse 32 that this is a gathering of nations. It says it right here in verse 32. And then the third reason it's not connected to the great white throne judgment can be found in verse 40. It indicates these brothers of mine referring to the nation of Israel. And then this judgment takes place on earth. This is a judgment that takes place on earth that's coming to all of the nations that have ridiculed, persecuted the nation of Israel and turned its back on God. And then fourthly, this judgment not only takes place on earth, and then fifthly, no books are open. This is direct judgment. Standing before the Lord Jesus Christ himself, where Jesus comes back and rescues the nation of Israel. Folks, it's going to appear one day that they're fixing to totally be annihilated and wiped out. And all the nations, Zechariah, of the world have come against them, and it looks like they're finally going to be destroyed. But God. But God, the one that people forget about, is on the scene and on his throne. And is going to rescue the nation of Israel and that battle of Armageddon and save them from destruction. Then we see the sentence of this judgment in verse 32 as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The whole world will finally realize that not all roads lead to God. You get washed by the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God, you become a saint of God, you become a child of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. The moment you get saved by the grace of God, the moment you get washed by the blood of the Lamb, the moment that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, you become a sheep according to the Word of God. You know the difference between a sheep and a goat? Sheep follow, goats butt. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Neither will anyone snatch them out of my hand. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. Sheep follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Sheep hear the voice of God. Sheep obey the commandments of God. Sheep love God's people. Sheep love God's word. Sheep love the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and are madly in love with the Son of the living God. Sentence of the sheep. Verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed, my father, blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's your sentence as a sheep of the living God. For being saved by the grace of God, that's your sentence. Folks, everyone goes through a court date at the end of the court, whether it's by judge or jury, they all hear these words at the end of the case. Guilty or not guilty. But there's never no in between. Well, you kind of was guilty, but you know, hey. You either stand at the end of that case and you hear guilty or not guilty. Here's the sentence for the child of God. Folks, I love this. I think this is beautiful. Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Aren't you glad as a church that we understand the sentences of the sheep according to the Word of God? Folks, we're not going through this haphazardly by circumstance and we don't know how this is going to end. I long for the day that I stand before my great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But then we see the sentencing of the goats. Matthew right here, chapter 25, verse 33. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. The right hand is a position of acceptance. The left is a position of the rejection. Where God rejects everyone who has rejected him. Make no mistake about it. You walked into this congregation this morning either as a sheep or a goat. You either love the Lord Jesus Christ and you are following the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been saved by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, or you walked in here a goat separated from God. You don't love God. You just love going to church every now and then, punching in the court. I did my religious thing. You've never been saved by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit of God don't live in the inside of you. You don't love God's word. You're really just like hanging out every now and then like Judas did, following along with the crowd, looking sharp and looking handsome. But really, the matter of issue at hand is are you a sheep or are you a goat this morning? Have you been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Can you say along with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation for everyone who believeth. Whosoever calls on the name of Christ shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you say like Brother Alton said when he got baptized, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Or will you hang your head in shame one day as a goat, played the part, followed along? You know the old saying, fake it till you make it? You can't fake it and make it in the kingdom of God, brother. You either in or you out. You either a sheep or you a goat according to the word of God. Verse 33 says right here in chapter 25, he will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. He will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, he says of Matthew 25, these will go away into eternal punishment. I want you to think about something. Everybody wants to know if there's a literal hell. Everybody wants to know if there's a day of judgment. And the Bible says, yes, 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 yes. There is a judgment coming. There is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And folks, I want to tell you, when Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and Lazarus just sitting at the gate begging for food, the dogs coming and licking his sores, just begging for one drop of food from the rich man's table, but the rich man in all of his luxury, living for his own self, dies and finds himself in torment, begging for one drop of water to cool his tongue. But Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, comforted, saved by the grace of God, snatched up by the grace of God, comforted by the grace of God. Make no mistake about it, church. Sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell, and there is no in between. I was preaching a message down in Lockport, Louisiana one time and preached on hell in the morning, and I've shared this with you before, and a lady got mad. Her husband showed up for service. Of all services, Brother Marty would preach on hell when my husband comes to church and he knows he's lost, and he preaches on hell when he comes to church. It was the perfect sermon for the perfect situation. The perfect sermon for the perfect situation. You've come in here today lost or saved by the grace of God. And if you're lost, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And if you're saved, you're going to spend eternity in heaven. Here's the good news, folks. This is what makes the gospel so awesome and beautiful. You can get saved today if you'll repent of your sins and lay your life down for Christ and follow him. You can't make him Lord of your life. He's already Lord. All you can do is confess that he is Lord and repent and follow him. And whosoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved by the grace of God. That's some good news here this morning. Happened to me when I was 27 years old. And I'm going to tell you, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I've never seen a dissatisfied customer. Boy, I tell you what, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to you when all of your sins have been forgiven and placed upon Jesus, and Jesus died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God and put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life and didn't leave us to ourselves, gave us the Holy Spirit of God to understand his word, to obey his word, to go deeper into his word, and then ultimately be swept up into glory and spend eternity with Jesus face to face forever and ever and ever. What a beautiful gospel, folks. Then we see the judgment of the peoples of this world. This will be after the 1,000-year reign, which we call the millennium, the season of this judgment. You can turn with me to the book of Revelation. I told you we'd get there eventually. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we see the season of this judgment. Folks, I just want to make something abundantly clear. The rewards are coming for the church of the living God, but judgment is coming for all who have rejected the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems as time goes by, I hear this more and more and more and more. I just can't serve a God that won't let the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness and the Muslims in. I just can't serve a God that won't let people in that were religious and dedicated their entire lives to seeking God. And I've got only one answer for that, folks, because there is only one way to God, and it's through Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of some book that someone wrote, some concoction of the gospel that they wrote. There's only one gospel according to the word of God, and it's the gospel that we have, that Jesus lived a sinless, perfect life. He was the sacrifice that pleased the anger and the wrath of God for your sins and my sins, and the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus or the imagination or the thoughts of people who pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment of the peoples of this world, we see the season of this judgment. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 right here. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They will be tormented, folks. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, something amazing happens during this time, and I don't understand why God does the things the way he does it. I mean, I just, poof, mushroom cloud. Done. But God keeps on dragging Satan onto the battlefield. Hey, one more fight, buddy, one more fight. Come on. You want to fight? One more time, one more time, one more time. God's always in control and initiates it, folks. And God always wins. He never loses. But then God, even in the word of God, after this 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed one last time. See, there's one other war most Christians don't realize, and that's at the end of the 1,000-year reign, the millennium. There's
the battle of Armageddon, and then God releases him one more time. And the Bible makes it clear. He goes out and gathers the nations together. Hey, let's overthrow God. Let's give it our last good final push, man. We're going to get him this time. We're going to really get God this time. Could you imagine anybody, a demon, much less Satan himself, thinking they're going to get God? And yet God allows them and releases them from the bottomless pit one last time. Okay, give me your best punch. Go ahead. Give me your best shot. Since the day Satan tried to usurp the throne of God and was kicked out of heaven, and a third of the angels who become demons on this earth, he has never stopped trying to defeat God. God has never been intimidated. He's never trembled. As a matter of fact, he opens up the bottomless pit and pulls Satan and his cohorts out, and he says, come on, I'm going to give you one last shot. The Bible makes this clear in Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, back up just a little bit to verse 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations and gather them for war, and fire will come down from heaven and devour them. Make no mistake about it, folks. God was in control all the way back to the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, and then you get all the way to the end of time and the Battle of Armageddon, the 7-year tribulation, and the final war. And God has whipped every ungodly foe and enemy along the way, and always has and always will. Remember how John started the book of Revelation, we said, in Revelation 1:5, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and listen to this, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth. God is in sovereign control over every king and every enemy of God throughout the whole earth, always has been and always will, has never lost the fight. He's the undisputed heavyweight champion of the galaxy and the universe and your life and my life and kings and nations. No one can whip God and never will, according to the word of God. And then we see the significance of this judgment. God allows us to see what John saw. John writes about it right here in the book of Revelation, the appearing of a throne. Right here in verse 11 of Revelation 20, he says, I saw a great white throne. I like the word great. That just simply means greater than any ruler or authority that has ever walked or ruled on the face of this earth. That means no greater authority that ever existed or ever will. It's God's great white throne. And then we see it's white because of its purity and its holiness and the glorious righteousness of God. And then we see that this great white throne judgment is just and final. There will be no arguments. Judgment will be pronounced on all of those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is going to be the judge according to the word of God. John chapter 5 verse 22 says, not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. John 5:24 says, he who heareth my word and believeth on he that sent me have everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. All judgment and authority has been given to the Son of the living God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The gathering of the dead, John saw, not only a great white throne, but the gathering of the dead. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, right here says, I saw the dead and the great, the small and the small standing before the throne. God has rounded up every one who has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious gospel and his salvation. He has gathered them up, the dead and the great and the small. He has gathered them up from the bottom of the sea. He has gathered them up from every grave and even Hades that hold in place until the judgment of God at the end of that millennium. He has gathered every single person that has died up, that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. It's estimated, from what I've studied, that 50 million people die a year.
Can you imagine that? 50 million people die a year. And yet God knows where every dead body is and the condition of that soul when it died, a sheep or a goat. Whether it's the bottom of the sea, whether they died in an explosion, cancer, heart attack, shipwreck, airplane crash, God knows where every single person that has died, where their bodies and their remains are. And he knows their condition when they die. The question is, what is going to be your condition when you die? Are you saved by the grace of God? Are you a sheep? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been washed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Folks, there's coming a day when all the hypocritical masks are going to be pulled off. No one will be able to fool God. All of the dead are going to be gathered around this great white throne that have rejected Christ. And the one with eyes like flame of fire is going to be able to penetrate all through your hypocrisy, your game playing with the gospel. And then we see not only the gathering of the dead, the books are going to be opened. There's a book of life, and then there's a book that is recorded with all of those whose names is not in the Lamb's book of life. Right here in verse 12, it says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, and another book, there's another book that was opened, which is the book of life. That's where your name and my name is the child of God. Saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. Have you ever thought about this? If you're not saved, that God has recorded everything about your life in a book. You know, people say this little cliche all the time, let your life be an open book. Let your life be an open book. Well, God's got a book that's going to be open, and it's going to show your life. You're not going to be able to get a ghostwriter to write a story about your life and collect money off of it. You're not going to be able to get somebody to come write, and you give a few little points, and then they write a whole book and put your name on it. But there is a book that God has that has recorded your sins if you're lost, your wretchedness, all of the times that you heard the gospel and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, when that book is open, you're not going to be able to mock God. You're not going to be able to turn your head and run. You're not going to be able to make excuses of why you didn't respond and repent and serve the Lord Jesus Christ and come to him. All you will be able to do is hang your head in shame when that book's opened and Christ shows you your life. Folks, I'm not talking about good works. I'm talking about this book is going to show those who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and never repented of their sins. I want to tell you something, folks. If God's got a book, you can count on it. He wrote it all by himself. Nobody helped him, and every single word of it is truth. There's not going to be no mixture or no misunderstanding in there. Any lies, any misconceptions. You will stand before God and give an account one day. As you see and look into these scriptures, the question here this morning, in view of Christ's return and Christ's judgment of the nations and all the ungodly before the great white throne judgment, the question is this morning, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Sheep follow, goat's butt. Have you submitted your life to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't speak for you, folks. I can just tell you how my life went personally. I made a profession of faith when I was 12 years old. Do I believe once saved, always saved? I sure do, but I believe what Brother Sonny Holland said. You got to once get saved. It needs to be real. It needs to be genuine.
I made a profession of faith, and I'm not saying kids can't get saved. I went out and lived a life of drugs and wretchedness and ungodliness. I still believe the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things have... And behold... No change, no salvation, folks. That's what the scriptures say. No repentance, no salvation. If your life has not been changed, you've never repented of your sins, you're only kidding yourself. And you're on a road of good intentions that paves its way all the way to hell. But I tell you what, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you and has totally changed your life. It is impossible for the God who created the heavens and the earth, I think it was Henry Blackaby said, to come and live on the inside of you and you not know it. Your spirit, Paul says, God's spirit testifies to your spirit that you are a child of God. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Can you say that here this morning and sing it? And know it's a reality because you are a sheep and a saint of the Most High God. And if you can't, I believe with all my heart that you can repent. God is speaking to you. The Holy Spirit of God is drawing you. The Word of God is speaking to you. You're under conviction. You can repent and turn from your sins today and be saved by the grace of God. You don't have to die and go to hell and be a goat. But folks, what most people don't want to do, they don't want to turn from their sins and repent. And you cannot have true salvation without genuine repentance according to the Word of God. And we're going to sing here in a moment. Brother Jeff is going to lead us in an invitation, a hymn of invitation. Is God calling you to be saved here this morning? Why don't you just step out, even right now before anything else takes place. Just step out and publicly take a stand for God. Brother Marty, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. I know I've never repented. I know Christ don't convict me. He don't live on the inside of me. Today, I want to repent and turn from my sins and call upon the name of Jesus and be saved by the grace of God. Then if you're here today and you know you're saved, that's a settled issue, you know you are a sheep, hey, I want to encourage you just as much as I'm encouraging myself this morning. Folks, let's fight the good fight and finish the race well. There's a gospel to preach. There's lost people that need to be saved. There's people that need to be ministered to. Let's run this race with endurance and finish well for the glory of God. And so let our light shine before men that they would see the good works in us and glorify our Father which is in heaven. And we'd see a Holy Ghost revival take place. Amen.